There's only one remaining question, Mr. Acton. The man who has been interrogating me leans forward with his heavy arms on his knees, big boxers' knuckles on fingers strictly interlinked, as if each hand has been detailed to keep the other out of mischief. Which is?
Whether you'll go out of your mind.
His tongue appears too large for his mouth. It lumbers from side to side as he speaks, getting in the way of, rather than forming, his words. A man trying to articulate through a mouthful of flannel. When he finishes, the tongue hangs over his bottom teeth, just inside a slack lower lip. His name is Frobisher. Go out of my mind? Why? I'm slow on the uptake, having been rather mesmerized by Frobisher, his way of speaking, the bulkiness of his limbs. It comes to me that this man, despite his somewhat distracting appearance, has had years of training in winkling out harbored information. He can probably, like a police dog at customs, simply smell it.
Why do you think? Frobisher chortles. Boredom, man! Look at you. You were an RAF pilot, a prisoner of war.
That was 30-odd years ago. I can't disguise my astonishment. It's hardly relevant now.
I beg to disagree.
He rocks back in his seat, enjoying himself.
I've seen so many like you. You're one of a whole generation, all ex-services, who signed up for the priesthood at the end of the war. And what were you doing? Arming yourselves to fight another good fight. Think of theological college. All that cold water and discipline and ardent celibacy. Certain similarities to a military training camp, no?
He's not wrong. Both places featured, in varying proportions, muddy cross-country runs and prayer. The prayer shorter and more fervent in the field of battle than in the pew. Actually, Archdeacon, I was ordained before the war, and by the end of 1945 I was married.
Of course you were. Girl you met in Egypt, I believe?
His beady little eyes track over me. He doesn't believe. He's learned my file by heart, memorization being a tool of our trade, and so he's simply prodding me now. I can't think of anything I want to say about Yvette. Not now. Not to him. Yes, I reply. My late wife was from Alexandria. There follows a tense silence while the instant coffee cools in the cups, the ginger biscuits soften in the humid late summer air. From beyond the leaded window, a pale sunbeam does what it can to make Frobisher's bald head gleam. As far as I'm aware, he hasn't blinked. Archdeacon, I say at last, I've got nothing to hide. He stretches his lips into a broad grin. They have no shape, these lips, being the same thickness all the way along, and no colour to distinguish them from the rest of his face.
My dear man, nothing was further from my mind. Nevertheless, here you are, all set to leave the West Country at rather short notice after... It must be more than 20 years, just when all your work at your current parish is bearing fruit, and come here to Hampshire, to Upton, which for all...
Upton and Barrow End. I believe they're quite particular about that.